Us, call Tax Solutions now, 800-281-8193. Currently 49 degrees.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good morning. Welcome to St. John's. Please take the time to sign our guest register when you get the opportunity. This week we're, during our Sundays during Lent, we're following the theme, Rethinking Christianity. So many in our world rethought it and decided to reject it, probably because they never knew what it was about, never figured out how wonderful and gracious it is, and yet we see that and rejoice in it. Let's rethink it for our world. Please take time to greet one another. Say hello to somebody you don't know. Greet each other in Christ. We begin with our first hymn, What God Ordains is Always Good, hymn 844, What God Ordains is Always Good.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Erter will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Our worship this morning will follow setting 1, found on page 154 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, and will be displayed on the screen during worship today. We will join our congregation, opening our service and singing hymn number 844 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, What God Ordained is Always Good, hymn number 844 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That phrase is to remind us of our baptism. Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God, and are condemned to eternal death. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took away our sins by giving his life on the cross. In baptism, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives with the following words. Baptism means that our sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As baptized children of God, we confess our sins. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit and united us to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Every day, God forgives your sins, removes your guilt, and strengthens you to defeat Satan's power. His promise is for you and your children, and he will never forsake you. Your sins are forgiven. You are clothed with Christ. You are at peace with God now and forever. Amen. The gospel according to Mark, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. River Marie Call, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive the sign of the cross on your head and on your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit and has forgiven all your sins. May he strengthen you with his grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Let us pray. We give thanks, most merciful Father, that you have received River Marie Call as your own child and made her a member of Christ's body, the church. Now we pray, grant to her and all your church on earth that being dead to sin, we may live to righteousness, and being buried with Christ into his death, we also may share in his resurrection, so that with all your saints, we may inherit eternal life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Go ahead and head back to your seats. We continue with the song that we're placing in place of the Gloria, Lord Have Mercy. The choir is going to sing the first verse for you, and then we're going to join in on the second.
The congregation will now sing hymn number 652 from the Christian worship hymnal, Lord Have Mercy, hymn number 652.
Almighty God, you see that we have no power to defend ourselves. Guard and keep us both outwardly and inwardly from all adversities that may happen to the body and all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. If you were here on Wednesday, we were talking about Job's suffering a little bit. And here is the account of the blows that came to Job. And yet God uses those and has used those for his own kingdom to remind us that in Christ, suffering is a gift. And that suffering leads us to greater faith in him. We read from Job chapter 1. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one left who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We turn to Psalm 22 in your hymnals or in your psalters. Psalm 22a, and we're going to sing, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded." This is Psalm 22, which predicts the suffering of Christ on the cross.
We will now be singing Psalm 22a, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded," in your psalter or hymnal, Psalm 22a.
Thank you.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It will also serve as our sermon text. Again, suffering is the key to this. Remembering Christ's suffering, can we expect any less as his followers? We read from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our choir sings, When Jesus Wept. Please rise for the gospel lesson. As Jesus explains to his disciples the paradox of his victory through going through to the cross, he also re-explains the suffering that we experience in this world and asks us to rethink what it means to suffer for Christ. We read from Mark chapter 8. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our next hymn, "Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart," hymn 817. "Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart."
The congregation will now sing hymn number 817, verses 1 and 2 from the Christian worship hymnal, "Lord, Thee I Love Thee with All My Heart," hymn number 817, verses 1 and 2.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, are yours. Amen. God's word for our consideration today is the second reading that we heard, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Your friends, during these Sundays in this season of Lent, we're going to be rethinking religion, as has been mentioned. Why? Because our culture is influencing our Christianity, and that's not good. Because it's supposed to be the other way around. Our Christianity is supposed to be influencing our culture. As things stand, there are stereotypes, there are tropes, there are assumptions made about biblical Christianity, and over time, those have by and large become kind of accepted as true. But are they actually? Or to put it more plainly, what does the Bible actually say? We don't want to accept something as true about our Christian faith just because we hear it repeated over and over again in society. An example of this would be the cliche saying, God helps those who help themselves. Sounds biblical. Mentions God. It's not biblical. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. That's not what God's word says. So today we are rethinking suffering. But before we get to rethinking suffering, Romans chapter 5 actually directs our attention to something different but related. Boasting. What do the two have to do with each other? We're going to get to that in a second. But what about this boasting? After all, in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it says, or verse 2, it says, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. There was a study done in May of 2015 by a Dr. Irene Scopoliti of the City University in London. And the topic of that study was boasting and how people feel about it. After completing her study, she wrote, most people probably realize that they experience emotions other than pure joy when they are on the receiving end of someone else's self-promotion. That's a fancy and very nice British way of saying that people don't like it when others brag. And another finding of that study was that actually boasting has the opposite of its intended effect. We tend to boast because we want to seem bigger and more important and more valuable in the eyes of others. But that's not what happens when somebody boasts. Actually, people think less of the boaster. Normally, boasting isn't good, right? But boasting is something that my sinful nature loves to do, if not to other people, then definitely to myself. I boast to myself about myself. We like to be the object of other people's praise and admiration, or at the very least, the object of our own praise, because we're trying to convince ourselves that, yeah, I have value, I'm worth it. The athlete points to the back of his jersey after scoring the go-ahead touchdown. I want to get as many likes and subscribes and retweets and followers as I can get on social media. Politicians set themselves up as these savior figures who have all the answers to all the problems, and they also set up their enemies, or their opponents at best as useless and at worst as enemies. Or let's bring it home here. What can we boast about? What can I boast about? Well, I get better grades than other people. I make more money. I'm more giving, more benevolent. I give money and I volunteer my time. My kids are better behaved than other kids. I'm a better parent, therefore. Or how about this one? I'm a pastor. And so I'm so valuable to a congregation. Yuck. Boasting in self is ugly. But boasting in and of itself isn't necessarily bad. How do we know? Well, God tells us to do it in Romans chapter 5. The difference is what I am boasting in. And we boast on the basis of our hope for the glory of God. And what hope is that? Go back to verse 1. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Yes, God wants us to boast not in ourselves, but in the fact that as a gift of his undeserved, unmerited love for us, you and I have not been shut off from him. We have not been condemned away from him forever. Rather, Christ Jesus has made peace between God and sinful people like you and me. And therefore, we have hope. And this hope isn't this unrealized thing that may or may not happen in the future. Like I hope the Brewers have a good season this year. They might not. This hope is real. This hope is certain. This hope is set. It's immovable. It's established by the hand of God himself. That in Christ Jesus, my sin is forgiven. In Christ Jesus, eternal life is mine. In Christ Jesus, heaven is my home. And what a hope that is. And so I boast not in myself, not in my works, not in my worth, not in my status. I boast in Christ. And that's not the only thing I boast in. What Jesus has done for us leads us to boast about something else. We boast in our suffering. Now, on the surface, it seems unthinkable. It seems nonsensical to boast in your suffering. Not only this, but we also rejoice confidently or boast in our sufferings. I mean, who would? Who would boast in their suffering? I mean, the things that we boast about or celebrate are the happy occasions, right? A birthday, an anniversary, a job promotion, a graduation, a wedding, a retirement, a homecoming. But when's the last time you heard about somebody celebrating and boasting about a layoff? A terminal diagnosis? A sudden tragedy? A betrayal or a loss? When's the last time you boasted when you were the victim of somebody else's harm or abuse? When you were mistreated for your beliefs? When you were ostracized or marginalized or mischaracterized? When's the last time you heard somebody saying, you know, I just have to boast about how laborious and difficult the struggle against my sinful nature really is? We don't celebrate those things, right? We lament them. We regret them. We're sorrowful over them. We hurt because of them. We wish we didn't have to face them. And we sympathize with those who do. And the reason that we don't celebrate and boast and rejoice in our sufferings is because it seems like suffering is a net negative. It's only bad. And that is where God directs us to do some rethinking of suffering. Paul writes, because we know that suffering produces patient endurance. And the idea behind that word for suffering here is this weight that presses down on you, a burden that makes your posture get lower as you struggle. And your muscles strain to keep yourself upright. That's the picture. But that's the thing, when your muscles have to strain and work, what's happening? Yes, you want relief, and yes, you wish you didn't have to carry that burden, absolutely. But your body learns to bear the load and builds muscle to compensate. In the same way, when you bear a burden, God gives the strength to endure it. And in that endurance, the content of one's faith is found genuine. Patient endurance produces tested character. The content of our faith isn't this shallow lip service or some hollow self-help slogans or some pretentious pop psychology. It's real. And this tested, proven character produces hope. And again, this isn't a hope that may or may not happen. This is hope which has already been won for us. This is the kind of hope of when you lift your eyes from the present pits of hardship up to the goal on the horizon. Because the question is not if I'm going to get there, the question is when. And what is that goal? It's the heavenward calling we have in Christ our Savior. We have in Christ our Savior. And if you're not certain that this counts for you, listen again to these words from Romans 5. For at the appointed time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. It's rare indeed that someone will die for a righteous person. Perhaps someone might actually go so far as to die for a person who's been good to him. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's no bar for you to clear in order for God's saving love in Jesus' death and resurrection to count for you. Helpless and ungodly. If after some honest self-reflection you find that those words describe you, then good news. Jesus died for you. Especially for you. Because the only people Jesus died for are sinners. And if you can count yourself among that band of misfits, then you have salvation in Christ. Which means that your sin is forgiven. Which means that you have peace with God. Which means that through faith in Jesus, you have his heavenly kingdom as your forever home. Which means that your status before God and life after this one are certainties. A hope already won for you. And God's goal is to bring you from here to there. Which means that everything that happens in your life, including the ups and the downs, including the trials and the triumphs, they all happen in service of that goal, in service of that will. And so, even your suffering is not a net negative. God works it to be eternally and spiritually good for you, no matter what you have suffered. He works through that suffering to bring you closer to Him, to bring us to realize that what we have in Him is the only sure, the only certain thing. After all, I understand the heights of Jesus' saving love better, not when I'm riding high and carefree, but when I'm in the pit. God brings me closer to Him when He allows loss into my life, because it's then that I truly understand that I'm but a stranger here and heaven is my home. God brings me to rely on Him alone when anything and everything else that I may have relied on in place of Him goes away. Like the hymn writer wrote, when every earthly prop gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. So boast in that. Like a woman in her mid-20s who was diagnosed with cancer, but who wanted to know just how good God had been to her. Who, like Job, in the middle of his suffering, after getting bad news upon bad news upon bad news, says what? The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Like a woman looking up from her deathbed at her pastor who came to give her one last devotion, who smiles and says, no fear. A more powerful sermon than that pastor could ever hope to preach. Christians, you don't suffer for suffering's sake, but for certain hope. Hope in forgiveness. Hope in eternal life. Hope in Jesus. Hope that strengthens. Hope that sustains. Hope that doesn't change. Hope that isn't an if, but a when. Now that is something to boast about. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and we'll continue with the prayer of the church.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You for giving us the example of Your Son who suffered. He suffered for others. He suffered to give salvation to the world. We know that our suffering will never do what Christ's suffering did. But Lord God, bless us that by the example of our hope and perseverance, we may build up the church. We may give an example to the generations to come, that we may show our commitment and our faith in You, in whom we boast. Lord God, Bless those who are suffering. Be with them. Help the fellow church members and their pastors to comfort and encourage them through their suffering. Help them to express their love for everyone else. Help those who are comforting them express their love for those who are suffering. Lord God, it is never easy on this side of heaven to deal with the suffering that is in our world because of sin. Strengthen and encourage our faith. Build up our faith through that suffering as you built up Job, and continue to keep us strongly connected to the one in whom we must always rejoice, Christ Jesus. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And we pray for the Carlson family who lost the mother of the family, Martha Soot. Lord God, give them comfort and strength in your word, that they may know the grace and mercy that is from you. In their suffering, comfort them. In their sorrow, relieve them. Bring them to the understanding that they too look forward to the heaven that you have prepared for them. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our offering, which is part of our worship.
Good morning and welcome again to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. We thank you for joining us for worship today. As a reminder, our Lenten worship continues on Wednesday evenings at 3:30 p.m., followed by soup and bread supper at 4:30 p.m., and our 6:30 p.m. worship service, which is also live streamed on Facebook. You may also join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. during Lent. We will be live streaming our Sunday services at 9 a.m. on Facebook. You may also watch them on YouTube. We have our radio broadcast every Sunday at 10 a.m. on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, and our Spectrum Cable Channel 10 TV rebroadcast at noon today and Antenna TV 43. We thank you for worshiping with us, and we wish to remind you that our Monday-Thursday worship will be on Thursday, March 28th, 6:30 p.m. only with communion. Our Good Friday worship is on Friday, March 29th, 1 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. Our Easter sunrise service at 6:30 a.m., followed by Easter breakfast at 7:45 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall, and our Easter Day Vindication service at 9 a.m. The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or streaming online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the services on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page and YouTube pages every Sunday at 9 a.m. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 E Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are greatly appreciated. The television producer is Wendy Grant. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for him who died for you. We will now join the congregation in singing hymn number 750 from the Christian worship hymnal, We Give Thee But Thine Own, hymn number 750. Please be seated, and we will continue with What Wondrous Love Is This, hymn 526, What Wondrous Love Is This. We will now join the congregation in singing hymn number 526 from the Christian worship hymnal, What Wondrous Love Is This, hymn number 526.